still in, you're still in LA? Is that, or are all y'all going to your other sisters? Is that Nate? Oh, yeah, oh, okay. But you guys are going to your, okay, awesome, next week. I know a lot of people probably traveling. And remember praying for Preacher Frank and Michelle Stewart's dad, lifting her up in prayer. But I'm really excited about hearing the message tonight. Brother Pastor Tyler's going to preach tonight, and we really appreciate you. You've been a blessing to us. And brother, why don't you come on up and just give us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
All right. Well, amen. It is good to be in God's house tonight. I thank the Lord, all joking aside, that we are in a church that gives grace. When things don't go exactly as planned, technology may mess up or whatever. I don't believe that bothers this church in the slightest. It feels good to, amen. Thank the Lord. It just feels good to be in a place where God's people love you and have grace on you. Because just a reminder, me and Pastor Daniel are not perfect. But thank you all for your grace toward us, even in the little things like that. But I'm excited to preach to you tonight about Christmas. And all joking aside, I think we as Christians need to prepare ourselves for Christmas. Not just financially and getting the gifts and getting the parties planned, but prepare our hearts spiritually. Because we have got a wonderful opportunity this year, of all years, this year more so, because of what this world and this nation has been through. Our friends and our family have been through so much. And you can feel the sense of hope, as Pastor Daniel has mentioned. You can feel it. Even lost people can feel it. They don't know what they're feeling, and they think that it's coming from the excitement of the presents and the parties and the get-togethers. But no, the excitement of the season is Jesus, the hope in Christ. That's why a lot of times when Christmas falls, like it's over, it just kind of fizzles out. But God's people should have that joy and that peace year-round. And that's why I think it's okay to preach a Christmas message, all you Scrooges, because I am thankful that Jesus was born. I thank God that He came and dwelt among us so that my sins could be forgiven. If you're saved, so that your sins could be forgiven. And tonight I want to preach briefly on, and I'll try to make it brief, I'm not going to lie to you there, preach briefly on our Christmas mission. And this is a very simple thought, but I believe before we get into the hustle and bustle, and this year even more so because we've got a plan where we can go and things be spread out, or how are we going to get everybody together, what are we going to do, or do we need to get Granny here for this or that, before we worry about that, we need to prepare our hearts and minds now to share the hope of Jesus this Christmas season, because I believe hearts are tender right now. I believe people want the hope that we have. But we're the only ones that have it. The world can't give hope. We can. So it's our, and the devil wants us to get lost in the music and the parties and the shows and all the fun stuff, which I love it. I love it. But if we focus on all that and we don't focus on Jesus and sharing Jesus, we have failed. And I don't believe we've truly celebrated Christmas if we don't do that. So I'll be in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 20 and focus on verses 8 through 20. And I want you to do something for me. Don't disengage as I begin to read this, because this has been read and read and read and read. Let's stay locked in. Let's stay focused. Let's pay attention to the Scriptures, because if you've read the Scriptures any length of time at all, there are some Scriptures I've read 1,000 times, but I read them one more time, and God shows me something that's been there the whole time, but He didn't want me to see until that time. And I believe God's got something fresh for us from this passage of Scripture this Christmas season. So let's pay attention as we read it and go through it. And this, I was thinking about this. This year, as you hear the Christmas songs, let's not just listen to them. I'm referring to the ones about Jesus. Because they're the example. There was one Christmas song that I've heard my whole life, and this year the first time I ever really listened to it, I was like, oh, that's a pretty good song. Let's not just glance over it, but every time we hear a song about Jesus, let's think of Him. Let's focus on Him. Let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what Thanksgiving is all about for all you Scrooges out there, is just thanking God for His goodness to us. And it began on this Christmas that I'm going to read about. So Luke chapter 2, if you'll please stand in reverence to God's word. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city." And if you study this out and see what it took to get Mary and Joseph exactly where God said they would be, you would be in awe of just how great God is. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." May God help us to make room for Jesus this Christmas season. These people didn't, but may God help us to make room for him. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Wouldn't you think it? They found it as God said they would. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And I want to preach tonight on the thought, our Christmas mission. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity to preach your word tonight. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your touch. If anything of any value is to come from this, it's going to take you doing it, sweet Holy Spirit. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. So we trust you to move and to challenge and to motivate me and us this Christmas to fulfill our mission. Lord, there are people starving for the good news of the gospel that only we have. And may you help us in the midst of the hustle and bustle to focus on you and to share you with this lost and dying world that is starving to hear this good news. And I know, Lord, just as everybody that heard in this passage, they wondered, so will the people that we tell. Lord Jesus, please help me tonight. And please motivate us tonight to go out into this lost world and share this good news with everyone we come into contact with. But Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that does not know you, Lord, they can't share this message. They really can't even celebrate Christmas. Lord, I pray you'd convict them of their sins and save their soul before they leave this place. I pray all this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So our Christmas mission. Now this is a very simple message tonight. It's an obvious one. But just as God's people all throughout the Old Testament, we need to be reminded time and time and time again. I don't know about you, but I'm forgetful. I'm one-track minded. And I need to be reminded of truths like this many times to keep me on track, to keep me on focus, so that I can do what God wants me to do. So our mission, in short, is to proclaim the good news of the gospel. That is our mission. Okay, I'm done. Now we can go home. No, I'm just kidding. But that is our mission. That is the joy that we have during the Christmas season, is to tell people about Jesus. This world is miserable right now. This world is struggling. This county is downtrodden, discouraged. People are sadder than they've ever been. I've got people in my family that live far away that are depressed, and they're turning and getting aggravated and angry, and that's not their personality, but they're falling into that because they're being cooped up in the house all the time, and they're getting discouraged. But we as God's people, we need to be a light during this time. We need to have joy during this time. So that's how we can be a great example, a great light, a great witness during this Christmas season. In the midst of all this terribleness and turmoil, God's people can shine bright, having joy in our hearts for Jesus. And then people will want to know how. How are you staying so joy-filled and have peace in your heart in the midst of this? And you can say, well, I have the hope of Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about. And I love everything that's involved with it, especially the food, praise God. I love every bit of it. But God burdened my heart a few years ago to make Jesus the focus. And that sounds obvious, but it's easy if we're not careful to not do that. To focus on our family, to focus on our kids, to focus on our parties and the shows and the music, and enjoy the time, but forget the reason for the season, which is Jesus. And that's what our mission is, to share the good news of the gospel. And I just want to look at that as we think about what our mission is. The first thing I want to point out is the people who are to proclaim the message. Who are to proclaim it? These are some obvious truths, but I just want to remind us of them. First, those who have recognized their sin condition. And I want to use this. I want to use verse number 8 to kind of paint the picture as we look at who the message came to first. I mean, think about who God chose to bring the greatest news ever spoken or ever written. Look who He chose to bring it to. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These men were the scum of the earth in most people's eyes. They would come through town and everybody would avoid them. They weren't allowed in the synagogue because of how dirty and nasty they were. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. But God did. Amen. God did. And see, they are a great picture of us before we're saved. We are aliens from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I want to remind us as Christians, if you're saved, where we were at. We've got to be remembered who we were so that we will want to share it with people that we don't necessarily want to be around or with. We've got to remember we were them. We've got to remember that. We were sinners. I was an 8-year-old boy when I got saved, but I was a sinner headed straight for hell. I would have went to the same hell as the most wicked person you could possibly think of. I was a sinner. And I thank God He opened my eyes to that one night. I thank God for that. He woke me up to that. Mom and Dad helped me to understand that by whipping me with the belt, but it took the Holy Ghost to turn the light on and say, "You're a sinner on your way to hell." And I believe if you're saved by the grace of God, you've recognized that. Ephesians 2:11-12 says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ." This is where we were. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we were. That's where God brought us from, Christian. Remember who you were and what position you were in. I thank God if you're saved, He opened your eyes to who you were and where you were at. He helped you to recognize your sin condition. But this isn't only for those who recognize their sin, but it's also for those who have responded in repentance and faith. Because if all you do is recognize you're a sinner, that's not enough to be saved. You've got to respond in repentance and faith. And we see this in the shepherds. These low-down, good-for-nothing shepherds by the world's eyes, we see that they responded in faith. Look at verses 15 through 17. "It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us.'" They responded, I believe that they had faith in what God had told them. And we see that their faith breeded action, produced action. And I want to put a little side note. I've even got it in the message. How does the world know that we faith, that our trust is in God. We see this, if you want to turn with me, well, it'll be on the screens too, but in James chapter 2, I just want to remind us that the world doesn't know we're Christians just by reading our minds. They don't know what God's done in our heart. The world only knows that we're children of God if we demonstrate it to them. The Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" So somebody comes to you that's hungry and they're cold, and you say, "Be filled and be warm." I say, "Well, my belly is still hungry." Because it's not enough just to say it. We've got to show the world that we are children of God. "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" And he's not saying Abraham was justified by what he did, but what he did showed the faith that he had. "And you see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." It's not saying there that these people were saved because of what they did. It's saying that what they did demonstrated that they had faith in their hearts. And I wanted to deal with that scripture and just bring up the point. The world needs to see our faith by our works. We need to demonstrate it before them this Christmas season. Our goal is to share the hope of Jesus with them. But if we keep our mouths shut and we don't live a godly life before them, they're not going to see our faith. We've got to demonstrate it by works and by proclamation of the gospel. So the people who are to proclaim the message are those that are saved by the grace of God. Those who've recognized their sin condition and responded in repentance and faith. And really, those are the only ones that can celebrate Christmas. If you're not a child of God, Christmas is not your holiday. Jesus is not your Savior. You can't celebrate a Savior that's not yours. But I thank God the same gospel that saved me, the same Savior that saved me can save you. Maybe you're watching or listening. He can save you. So the people that are to proclaim the message are children of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have been tasked by God to share the good news with everyone you come into contact with. That means family. And that's the hardest people to witness to. That's the hardest people to share the good news of the gospel with. But I will say during Christmas time, people's ears are more open to Christian things, to godly things. Listen to every secular radio station. They'll play Christmas music about Jesus. In the movie The Grinch, one of Jasper's favorite songs is a good Christian song right in the heart of the Grinch movie. God's people are sensitive. People are sensitive to Christian things during the Christmas season. And you may think people don't want to hear it, but share the good news with them. I believe they do. At Christmas time, I believe they want to hear it more than normal. So may God help us to have confidence to proclaim that message. So the people who are to proclaim it are those who have recognized their sin condition and responded in repentance and faith. So now the proclamation. First, I want to point out the men we are to proclaim the message to. Look at verse number 10. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This good tidings of great joy is for everyone. It's not just for our clique, our group, our family, our friends. It's for everyone. It's for the world. That's why the Bible says, Mark 16:15, "He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We've got to preach it to everyone. That's why I wanted to remind us of where we were and who we were. Because I think we've forgotten that as a church in America. That's why we don't want to go to the nasty places, the dirty people, the people that we don't want to be around. But we got to remember, we were them. But for God's grace, we would be going down the road they're going down. Me and Brother Gene was talking about somebody that did a terrible thing, and I said, "Brother, but for God's grace, that's us. That's where our mind would go. We were the shepherds, and these shepherds, they wanted to take this message to everyone. They realized who they were. They realized people don't want anything to do with me, but God does. And I want to share this message with other people that they may think that God doesn't want, the world doesn't want anything to do with, but God does. The message is for everyone, for all the world. I thank God for that. That it's not an exclusive message just for some people, but it's for everyone. And if you're lost or not, it's for you. So we see the men who we are to proclaim the message to, but we see now, and this is obvious, the message we are to proclaim. Look at verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What message are we to proclaim this Christmas season? We're to proclaim a Savior was born. See, but we're not celebrating Christmas just because a baby was born. We're celebrating Christmas because that baby that was born lived a perfect, sinless life, the life that you and I should have lived, and we can't. So he said, I love them enough that I'm going to come live it for them. And not only did he live a perfect, sinless life, but he says, I'm going to die the death they deserve on the cross of Calvary. He's the only good person that something bad ever happened to. A lot of people say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? There's only one good person. And that was Jesus. And the worst thing that could happen to him happened. And not only did he die on the terrible, cruel cross of Calvary, but then he was buried and then he rose again 3 days later. That is why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because of Easter. And we celebrate Easter because of Christmas. See, we've got to tell them, hey, your Savior, if you'll place your faith in him, was born on Christmas. On Christmas, that baby that was born forgave my sins. That is the message we are to proclaim to them. So many people are hurting. A lot of people know they're sinners. These shepherds knew they were. That's why when they heard the message, they responded, I believe, so quickly. See, these people had lived under the law for so long. And all the law did, as it's supposed to do, is show them how incapable they are of keeping it. But then this Christmas night, the Messiah that they had been promised came. They'd been living under the law, but finally God said, your Savior has come. The one that can forgive your sins, who has fulfilled the law for you, he came. That is the message we are to proclaim. It says, for unto you is born this day. I thank God for that. Unto me, unto you. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, unto you a Savior is born. So we see the proclamation, the men we are to proclaim the message to is everyone. The message we are to proclaim is the good news of the gospel. For unto you a Savior is born. And let's see finally the product, and I'll be done. Verses 14 and 20. First thing we see is God will be magnified. And isn't that the goal? We've got to remember, we can't save. No matter if we share the gospel with everyone, we can save no one. But when we do what God told us to do and share the good news of the gospel, it glorifies him. Amen. It uplifts him. It brings praise to him. Look what verse number 14 says. And this verse here, I've got it marked in my Bible as the purpose of the gospel. First thing we see is glory to God in the highest. When we proclaim the message, we're giving glory to God, pointing people to Jesus. And that is the goal. We are celebrating Christmas. That's what it should be. Our Christmas parties, our church services during this time should be worship services and praise services. We are celebrating the fact that our Savior was born. Amen. The reason my sins are forgiven, I have the hope of heaven. He was born on that Christmas night. It glorifies God when we do that. So the product is God will be magnified. And we see next, men will be justified. Look what it says. Verse number 14 again. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Or it could also be said, peace to men on whom his favor rests. That message of the gospel, if we'll share it, can bring peace to any heart. And that's the only thing that can bring true peace. And people want in this Christmas season to find peace and joy and a moment of reprieve from all the craziness we've been dealing with. But when all of it's over, it's going to fade away and it's going to get back into that sense of just despair unless they find peace in Jesus. I thank God I have peace in Him tonight. Not because of what I have done, but because of what He did for me. And He did for you. And He did it for everyone we're going to be around this Christmas season. He wants to save them. He wants to change their life. He wants to use them, as Pastor Daniel mentioned this morning. But He cannot save their soul if we don't share this message with them. He cannot change them. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the means by which God will save a soul. If the gospel is not shared, a soul cannot be saved. And yet, if you're like me, so many Christmas seasons have went by, and it breaks my heart to think about it. Where I've went to parties, I've ate the food, had a great time, with lost people sitting all around me. And if I'm not careful, and if you're not careful, one day we're going to stand before God, and these people are going to be kicked off into hell. When I could have shared the good news of the gospel with them, and God might have could have saved their soul. And if we remember, we talked about where are the watchmen. We've got to share the good news. Now, if we share it and they don't respond, that's not on us. But if we don't share it, they don't have an opportunity to respond. And that blood's on our hands. And you may think, well, Pastor Tyler, I'm scared to death to witness to my family. Me too. They've seen me grow up. They've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. But we got to remember, we've got a person named the Holy Spirit with us who wants to help us, wants to encourage us, wants to empower us if we'll just let Him. He will not make us do anything. But if we will surrender to Him, because remember, that's being filled with the Holy Ghost, not getting more of Him, but Him getting more of us. If we want to be used by God this Christmas season and do more than just go to parties and have fun, but I mean, just imagine you go to a Christmas party and you witness to, I mean, I can't imagine. There's some people on my mom's side who they need Jesus bad. And I can't imagine me, and I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with them before, and I've done it, thank God. I can't imagine how joyous of a Christmas party it would be to see some of the worst sinners in my family repented of their sins. Imagine that party. If God would save a soul, what the greatest Christmas gift anyone can get would be Jesus. But the only way they can get it and respond is if we give it. They don't have the light. They don't have the gospel. We do. We've got to sow it and just trust God to do the rest. If we'll do our part, God, He'll do His part. God is faithful. So we see God will be magnified. Men will be justified. Now, I'm not saying that everyone that we witness to and we share the gospel with during this Christmas season will get saved. Even the parable of the sower, 3 out of 4 did not. But I thank God there was that one. There was that one. Don't be like, well, ain't no use. They're probably 1 of the 3 out of the 4. No. Share it. Share it. It's our job. This is our job. It's not our job to pick and choose. It's our job to sow the seed and let God give the increase. See, because I'm not going to your Christmas parties. Well, if you invite me, I might. I'm not going to be where you're at, and you're not going to be where I'm at. God's put us where we're going to be this Christmas season for a purpose. He put you there. Not me, not Pastor Daniel. He put you there. And you say, well, I can't do it, Pastor. You're right. You can't. But Him in you can, if you'll let Him. He will. And man, what a Christmas party. If somebody got the gift of salvation this Christmas season, I know there would be joy. I know we as a church would shout. I mean, I guarantee you, in heaven, there will be shouting and praising. So we see God will be magnified, men will be justified, and finally, saints will be edified. You know, when you do what God tells you to do, it encourages you. It uplifts you. Look what happened to these men. Look at verse number 20. As they heard the message, they went and saw that it was true. They already believed. Was and they went and saw that what God said was true. They went and proclaimed the message. They were telling people the good news that a Savior was born to us, low down, rotten, good for nothing shepherds that the world hates but God loves. They went and told everybody about that. And when they told everybody about that and they did what God told them to do, look what verse number 20 says. Look what it says. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen it was, and as it was told unto them. When you are obedient to God and you do what God tells you to do, it will bring joy and peace to your heart. You will have a Christmas like never before. Maybe nobody gets saved. I pray that they will, but you did your part. You were obedient to God. And when you're obedient to God every time in my life, and I've not done it as much as I should, but every time in my life when God lays on my heart to do something and I do it, I mean, it seems like there's been an overwhelming sense of joy and peace. Because even in the midst, most of the time when God lays something specific like that, I'm scared to death. But when I do it, I am literally overcome with such peace and joy in my heart because I did what God told me to do. And this Christmas season, maybe even right now, God laid somebody on your heart. But he said, you need to tell them about me. I believe he wants to save them. I know he does. It's, the Bible says it's not his will that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he cannot unless they hear the good news. We've got it. That's our Christmas mission. And what a mission it is. It's the greatest mission, it's the greatest calling any of us could ever have, no matter what we ever do. The greatest thing we can ever do is share the good news of Jesus with lost people, and specifically our family. How sad it would be, as I've said so many times, to gain the whole world and lose my family. We've got it. We've got a mission. But we've got a message. We've got a helper in the Holy Ghost that's with us. He's not saying, okay, you're saved. Now you go do your thing and I'll watch from the back. No. He goes with us. He wants to help us. If you'll say, like Brother John said, just turn it over to him and let him do it. He'll do great things through us, and like I've said so many times, and then reward us like we did it ourselves. If we'll just do it. So maybe you'll be like me, my desire. You'll come to this altar tonight and say, Lord, I surrender to you. I'm scared to death to witness to my family, to my friends, to my coworkers, whatever position you may be in this Christmas season. I am scared to death to do it. But I surrender to you. If you'll empower me, I'll do it. I will share the good news of the gospel with them and trust you to give the increase. And when you step out in faith, you'll be like these shepherds, glorifying and praising God for what he's done. May God help us this Christmas to fulfill our mission, which is the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is the key. We've got it. They don't. We've got to give it. And when we do, God will give the increase. And what a Christmas it would be. Man, I would love to hear this year as we go through our Christmas parties to hear people come back and say, hey, so-and-so got saved in my family. So-and-so got saved in my family. So-and-so got right with God in my family. Imagine as a church how joyous it would be if we did our part and saw God do his part. I believe Mountain City Baptist wants to. We've got a rare thing going on here, brother. I'm not just saying that because I'm standing behind the pulpit speaking to the cream of the crop on Sunday night. We've got something special here, church. But still our natural inclination is to not do it. So that's why we got to surrender to him. Use me. I thank God he will. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I praise his name for that. But everyone, please stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I know this was a simple message, simple thought, but a great reminder to myself. And hopefully to you as well. We have got a wonderful message in the gospel, and Christmas is a part of that. So she begins to play, the altar's open. I don't know where this message found you, but if it's found you where it found me, number one, I had to repent of not fulfilling my duty, my mission in ripe times such as this. I didn't mention it during my message, but how encouraging to know the harvest is plenteous. There are souls that God has prepared for that seed, ground that is ready. Maybe in the heart that we least expect it. So may God help us just to sow the seed and let him do the rest and watch him do great things. Thank you. are praying. The altar's still open. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. You can't celebrate Christmas. I mean, you can go to parties. You can watch the TV shows. You can eat the food. You can give the gifts. But you do not have the hope that Christmas offers, that which is Jesus. But you can. I thank God the same gospel that saved me 19 years ago can save you tonight. If you'll just respond in repentance and faith. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might, but shall. I can guarantee you, if you'll cry out to Him, He will respond with I will. He will say yes. He will save you instantaneously. Some are still praying. The altar's still open. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got a specific family member on your heart, and you want to just come to this altar and say, God, I want to pray for so and such. Lord, give me the courage to share your gospel with them this Christmas season. Still got the same power. We've just got to proclaim it. So much for your kind attention tonight. Hope everyone's going to leave here where they need to be, prepared and ready. This is easy preaching, hard living. And I've experienced it. I'll preach it and then I'm under attack the whole week. So you pray for me that I can be obedient to God's word as well. I just don't want it to be words out of my mouth. I want to live it. I thank you all so much. I love you all. We love this church. Pastor Daniel, we love you. I just thank God that He brought us here. I'm thankful for that this Thanksgiving season. I'll address that season. I'm just kidding. But I thank you all so much for your kind attention tonight. Pastor Daniel, you got anything?